The glow of his cauldron tracing the bags under his blue eyes, his monocle gleaming. He would be muttering, whispering, pleading with the elements he manipulated. The materials he needed for these endeavors always seemed to lead her to the underground market. Still, being the sister of an alchemist prodigy had its advantages. One of her favorite of his creations was sheathed to her thigh, a slender dagger with a cruel crescent arch. At a glance, its floral etchings were purely decorative, but with one clockwise twist of the hilt, the pin-size holes in those etchings would well with sleep serum. The instant blood was drawn, the fight would be over. She also wore a pair of his old boots that came to her knees. He wouldn't miss them. They were too small for him now, and a childhood spent at the mercy of grey fever meant none of his shoes had gotten much wear. The fever was a vicious illness that embedded into the spinal cord. If its victims lived at all, they were often left paralyzed. Gertie had been bedbound for months at a time, and rarely well enough to be allowed outside. The clock tower had just chimed noon, and by now, everything unloaded from shipping crates would be for sale in shops and in the vendor's market. Everything. As usual, she'd chosen the least assuming outfit she could find for a journey into the port capital. It was a blue dress, without the frill and fanfare of most things her mother had tailored for her. At the collar was a simple beaded floral pattern in the typical northern fashion, whose threading was beginning to wear. Unremarkable. All this added to her invisibility quite nicely, Will thought. Invisibility in plain sight was her finest skill, forged over a lifetime as the third spare in the royal line. She stopped at a vendor selling hunks of glittering stone affixed to cheap metal chains. "From the famed mountain palace of the Southern Isles," the vendor was shouting in Nyish to whoever would listen. A fake accent, Will knew, just like the stones. Nyish was the language of Aerod, but because Northern Aerod was the trading hub of the world, it was adopted by nomads and ports around the world. The woman was well-dressed, in a crisp red tunic and matching trousers that belled at the ankles, ruffled with pristine black lace. Something like the outfits displayed in the storefronts here, which meant it was purchased here. Probably an indication that she would pack up her wares and phony accent and be gone by the time next week's import ships departed. Will had seen it dozens of times before. A young boy and girl sat at her feet, peering at passers-by under the slats in the cart. The children were equally pristine and dressed in a matching green dress and vest set, respectively. They caught Will's eyes, and their casual interest in the crowd took on a new purpose. The vendor glanced at her too. "Fancy a necklace for those lovely collarbones of yours?" she asked. "I'm looking for something shinier," Will said, cautious. The children were still watching her. She extended her index finger and gave three quick taps to the strap of her bag. An innocent enough gesture, unless her suspicions were correct. The girl crawled out from under the cart.
"Were you looking for sterling chains instead?" she asked. Her accent sounded Eastern.
Will raised her chin in a nod. The underground vendors loved to send the girls to hook their customers. Young orphan girls with ribbons in their hair, or elegant young women with soft faces and sweet smiles, all to mask the sinister depths of their trade. The boy moved as though he wanted to stand. The vendor cast the boy a look, though, and it rooted him. The vendor likely wasn't any relation to them, just a lackey, but the boy was clearly the girl's brother. It wasn't merely their resemblance, Will noticed, but the way the boy looked at the girl. Like letting her go off alone was the same as casting a gem into the sea. Owen looked at her that way. For her part, the little girl was unafraid. She gave Will a smile that didn't reach her steely eyes.
"My father makes the finest jewelry you'll find anywhere in the world," she said. "Follow me."